Tech Weekly with Jake Brown. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 5 of Tech Weekly. Tech Weekly is a show that will happen every Friday night from 8 o'clock to 8:10 p.m. and I'll tell you the biggest tech news that has happened in the past week in under 10 minutes. So, first up, Facebook is suing a developer that they believe was behind a data scraping campaign which took personal information from thousands of users. Facebook announced the lawsuit would be filed against Mohamed Zaghar and his website MassRoute 8 on Thursday. They say that Zaghar was grabbing Facebook user data without permission. Facebook is also accusing Zaghar of using a botnet to bypass Facebook's detection by pretending to be Android devices using the social network. The data scraping campaign ran from April 23rd to May 6th, with about 5,500 people getting their information stolen. The company said it sent multiple cease and desist orders to Zaghar and also suspended his Facebook and Instagram accounts and required his customers to change their passwords on MassRoute 8 for security purposes. Facebook has been doing a lot more lawsuits to stop data abuses on its platform, with even a lawsuit filed in Spain against a service that provided fake likes and comments on Instagram. Scrapped data on Facebook can be valuable to marketers, scammers, and internet trolls. Last September, security researchers found a database of 220 million scrapped phone numbers and Facebook IDs for sale for $1,000. Facebook's lawsuit alleges that Zaghar violated the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, arguing that he improperly accessed Facebook servers without authorization and misused the estimated 5,500 customers' login information. They are seeking $75,000 in damages in the lawsuit. We will see what the outcome of this lawsuit is as it is taken to the justice system. In more Facebook news, they and Instagram will allow U.S. users to block political ads due to the upcoming presidential election. This feature will become active in a few weeks and will include ads from political action committees. Facebook is not expecting to lose revenue from this decision. In the past, Facebook received criticism by letting candidates buy ads that contain lies or misleading content, essentially propaganda. For example, Facebook was forced to pull hundreds of ads from President Donald Trump's campaign, claiming that the fake news media would attempt to block the campaign's upcoming Super Bowl commercial. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden recently launched a campaign telling Facebook to implement rules that prohibit threatening behavior and lies about how to vote. It also proposes a two-week period before the election in which all political advertisements must be fact-checked before they appear on Facebook. How this will turn out, we don't know. Veering away from Facebook news, Google has made a new Chrome extension called Link to Text Fragment, which lets you generate URLs to specific text on a web page, regardless of its formatting. With the extension installed, simply highlight the text you want to link to and right-click, and then select Copy Link to selected text. This can then be shared and opened by anyone using a compatible browser. The Google extension builds upon a new feature that was recently added to Chromium called Text Fragments, which works by apprehending extra-linking information to a URL after a hashtag or a pound sign. It is the same technology that Google now sometimes uses to link specific parts of a web page in search results. However, these URLs can be long and difficult to manually create if you're linking to longer sections of text or complex web pages where the same words are repeated multiple times. This extension simplifies the creation process. The one caveat is it is not yet supported by all browsers. The extension and the functionality it enables are promising, but it's not perfect yet. Hopefully it will be ready soon and will help make some tasks much easier for us. In addition to this, Google's game streaming service called Google Stadia Premier Edition is now cheaper, but users will not get the 3 free months of Stadia Pro unlike earlier. Stadia Pro is a premium subscription service that lets you stream games in 4K HDR and 5.1 surround sound along with other perks. At the time of release, Google Stadia Premier Edition came with a Chromecast Ultra HDMI dongle and the Stadia controller, along with 3 free months of Stadia Pro, all at $129 in the US. but now the price has been reduced to $99 and the Stadia Pro subscription has been removed. It states that you get the clearly white Stadia controller and Google Chromecast Ultra with the purchase, skipping out on the free 3-month membership of Stadia Pro. However, you can still get a 1-month free membership of Stadia Pro by signing up for the free version of Stadia. After the 1-month period, you can continue with Stadia Pro by paying $9.99 per month. Also, for PUBG fans, it has been announced that PUBG PC has been added to the Stadia library for free, but specifically for Stadia Pro users. While it is not used as much as other streaming services like Twitch, Google hopes that this new change will make it more appealing. We'll see whether it lives up to the hype. Now, let's move on to our favorite type of news, Apple news. But our first piece of information is not something you'd like to hear from this company. Apple is facing an increasing amount of calls to reconsider its App Store rules, which have been deemed hostile and strict by none other than the App Store creators themselves. The backlash has been sparked by a row between the tech giant and the makers of a new email app over a demand that Apple be given the means to take cut of the service's subscription fee. The clash threatens to overshadow one of Apple's biggest annual events. The iPhone maker hosts its annual Worldwide Developers Conference, or WWDC, on Monday, which if you want to watch it, join me live at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The 5-day event is used to showcase new technologies and encourage software makers to adopt them. We touched up on this event in our last episode of Tech Weekly, which if you haven't watched it, make sure to check it out. The link is in the description. Anyway, this issue has also risen to a national level. On Tuesday, the European Union launched a formal probe into the firm app store rules, saying it's believed that they might be distorting competition in the digital goods market. And in the US, Congress is waiting to hear whether Chief Executive Tim Cook will testify to a House committee investigating whether Apple, Facebook, Google, and Amazon are exploiting their size to obtain unfair advantages over smaller companies. Tim Cook has previously said that he thought it was fair for Apple to come under scrutiny, but the firm was not a monopoly in any of the markets they operate in. We'll see how this develops in upcoming weeks. Next up, there's a new Siri police shortcut in iPhone and iPads, which is being put to use against police violence. Due to the protests against police brutality over the past few weeks, has created awareness around a software shortcut that lets people use their iPhones to start a video recording during a traffic stop in case of misconduct by officers. The tech trick created by software developer Robert Peterson puts iPhones into action by telling Apple's digital assistant Siri that I'm getting pulled over. The Siri police shortcut was getting traction on social media after Peterson tweeted a link to the latest version of his 2-year-old shortcut this week. Once Siri is verbally cued, it pauses any music playing, turns down the iPhone brightness, goes into Do Not Disturb mode, and sends a message to a designated contact that a police stop is taking place and indicates where they are. It then starts a video recording through the iPhone front camera, sending a copy to the specified contact. The software trick must be installed by users and is not part of the iPhone operating system. Smartphone videos shared on social media have become key bits of evidence against police misconduct, and the software shortcut was designed to make that easier. We really hope that it does do some good during this time. Finally, in Apple news, a Twitter user leaked several images of what may be the forthcoming line of iPhone 12 and 12 Pro devices. The photos show off a series of silvery molds that are commonly seen among third-party case manufacturers who develop these molds based on the leaked schematics or on their own predictions. If these molds are to be trusted, the iPhone 12 family will include a 5.4-inch iPhone 12 and a larger 6.1-inch iPhone 12, plus the two iPhone 12 Pro models coming in at 6.1 inches and 6.7 inches. This makes sense, for not only does this follow the pattern that Apple has set up for its iPhone 11 debut last year, with a few different size and price options, but it also aligns with our prior iPhone 12 leaks. If this leak is real, it means that Apple is returning to some of its earlier design aesthetics. Design purists may be angered to see that notch at the top of the iPhone is still there, glaring at you from front and center. However, it does look like Apple has trimmed some of the notch down a bit on both sides, but the selfie camera and Face ID scanner still sit uncomfortably in the same places as the iPhone 11 series. In addition, the post included a number of CAD files, which are basically the digital file format for the gadget design. Keep your eyes peeled for September, for some reports still say Apple will release its new family of iPhones then, but other reports say the release will be pushed back a few months. Whatever the case may be, we sure are excited for whenever it will be released. The program Zoom has been used far more as the world entered quarantine and has needed to take a few more steps for security as more users start using it. Before, it was used for business meetings, but has since been used as a time for social gatherings. In regards to this, it turns out Zoom will go ahead and offer end-to-end encryption to all users, despite previously saying that the feature would be a premium one for paying customers only. Zoom's original decision not to add end-to-end encryption, which secures connections from device to device on a call to free users, calls, was meant to keep the door open for law enforcement operation. To cut down on the mass creation of abusive accounts, users with free/basic accounts who want to access Zoom's end-to-end encryption will have to provide information to verify their account, such as verifying a phone number via text message. Once available, end-to-end encryption will be an optional feature as it limits some meeting functionality, like the ability to include a traditional PSTN phone line or like calling in from your cell phone. This new feature will allow for more secure and presumably safer calls on Zoom. Now let's divert over to robot news. Firstly, Boston Dynamics will start selling one of its famous dogs called Spot, but this comes at a hefty price of $75,000. You'll have to put down a $1,000 deposit and wait 6 to 8 weeks for your robot to come in the mail. But it's probably worth it if you're looking to set up an autonomous data collection for a job site. Although you can buy Spot robot for personal use, you should think long and hard about it, as Boston Dynamics say the robot isn't certified for in-home use, especially near children. But hey, it's your robot, so do with it what you want. And our last piece of tech news for the week, Google Drones will drop library books to students in Christiansburg, Virginia for summer reading. Thanks to a middle school librarian, Christiansburg students will be the first to have this happen to them and will be somewhat of a test run to see if Google wants to continue to do this in the future. Google's parent company, Alphabet, operates an experimental air delivery service called Wing, which will soon begin using its fleet of drones to deliver library books to kids who need to complete their summer reading lists. Deliveries will begin this week, and there are about 600 children who live in the Wing's delivery zone who could benefit from the service. If this goes well, it may sway several other towns to do the same thing. Okay, that just about wraps up this episode of Tech Weekly. Make sure to like and subscribe, and I'll catch you guys in the next one.